In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, two diseases that are not as prevalent today as they were at one time are leprosy and polio. And even though these two horrible diseases, this living death and this paralysis, are not epidemic anymore, they truly still hold a horrible specter at their thought. I remember as a child in Sunday school hearing about lepers and leprosy, and what a horrific image that was in my mind. Baby boomers, you remember getting your polio vaccine with a shot or with a drop on a sugar cube in the grade school gym? Leprosy and paralysis in Jesus' day were object lessons about the debilitating effects of sin. Sin doesn't only debilitate the soul, it also debilitates the body. Disease, even today, is that visible manifestation of the truth that neither my body nor my soul are what God intended them to be. From the moment that you and I were conceived in our mother's wombs, our bodies were subject to disease and to decay, and ultimately even to death. From the time that our souls were created there, they were at enmity with God. They were in spiritual death. They were completely separated from God because of sin. Only the one who can cleanse and heal both body and soul can take care of those problems. And this morning, as the Epiphany season begins to draw to a close, a season where many of the readings deal with Jesus' miracles, we look at two miracles that reveal that Jesus Christ is that one who can cleanse and heal. And not only that he can do those things, but that he is willing to do it. So this morning we see that the Epiphany Savior is willing to cleanse and heal. We see first that sin has a debilitating effect on the body and the soul, and secondly, that it is the Son's Word that is the restorative power. Leprosy, and we could here include all diseases of the skin, and diseases like polio that paralyze the body, are not, of course, sinful. They are the results of sin. Not the results of sin that God is punishing me for some particular sin or sins, but it is in my life because I am sinful and I live in a sinful world. Disease is that visible manifestation of my death in God's eyes. The leper who approached Jesus and the servant whom the centurion was so concerned about had some terrible diseases. They were suffering horribly with this living death, with this paralysis, and with its accompanying pain. They both came to Jesus because they knew that he could cleanse and heal. But was he willing? Would he be willing to do just that? So the leper said to our Savior, "Lord, If you are willing, you can make me clean. The word clean in Greek is the word from which we get our English word catharsis. You know, when you have some kind of a cleansing experience, they call that a cathartic experience. Something that cleanses us. Because of his leprosy, this man was ceremonially unclean. And so he could not go to the temple. He could not offer sacrifices to God. He could not exercise his faith. And so by once again being clean, by being cleansed from that leprosy, he would again be able to carry out his worship of his God. We see, first of all, this man's trust in Jesus, that Jesus can help. That's why the man went to Jesus in the first place. But we see also the man's faith in that he recognized that we really can't make demands of God in things that are uncertain. We don't always know if God wants us to be healed of some disease. We don't know when God might want us healed or cleansed of some illness. When the leper said to Jesus, "If you are willing," he didn't mean merely, "Jesus, you can cleanse me if you want to." He was saying, "Jesus, you can cleanse me according to your will, the way you want to take care of this, in a time that you want to take care of this, according to your will, in a way that you want, you can make me clean." In this particular case, our Epiphany Savior answered the man's prayer and request the way he wanted right away. Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." The results were immediate. His leprosy was instantly and completely cleansed. And Jesus told him, "Now I don't want you to tell anybody about this because they don't yet understand the connection between my doing miracles and be my being the Savior. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the offering that people who were cleansed of leprosy would offer." That was a testimony to the miracle. That was a testimony that it was not some kind of trick or that the man wasn't really cured when the priest would accept the sacrifice, that indeed the man was now clean. This miracle of cleansing the disease declares Jesus to be the Epiphany Savior. He is the one who has the power to cleanse not only the body of disease, but also to cleanse our souls from sin, the cause of that disease. The same was true of the paralytic whom Jesus healed when the centurion came to him in that regard. Jesus Christ is the Epiphany Savior who has the power to heal the body as testimony that he is the Savior who has come to heal the soul by forgiving our sins by his cross and by his sacrifice. The first miracle speaks to the cleansing of the disease. The second miracle speaks to the healing of the body. They both speak to the cleansing and healing of our souls by Jesus our Savior. And that's why the two miracles really go together. They do teach just a little bit of a different thing about Jesus revealing himself here as the Epiphany Savior. Both indicate Jesus has all power over sin and its results. Some of you know, because I've mentioned it, that this text of the healing of the leper is particularly dear to me because I used it as a text for a sermon of a young man whom I buried in Milwaukee who died of HIV. He had gotten that HIV as a result of sin, as a result of sexual sin. But as I worked with him and as I instructed him and assured him of the promise that God had made to him in his holy baptism, he was not, in the days that he had left, so concerned about Jesus being able to cleanse his disease and heal his body. What was really a great comfort to him and a power for him to die in peace was that Jesus had cleansed and healed him from the disease and the results of his sin. That Jesus had forgiven all of his sins in Christ. And yet it's also true that Jesus did heal his body. Because when his body rises from the dead on the last day, it'll no longer be subject to that terrible disease. It'll no longer be subject to decay or death, nor will ours, as we receive that ultimate deliverance from the results of sin. But now we move from Jesus' willingness to cleanse and to heal to the restorative power by which Jesus does that. And that restorative power is the Son's Word. There are some differences between these two miracles. In the first miracle, Jesus spoke directly to the leper. In the second miracle, the man who was paralyzed was not even there. In that case, Jesus spoke to that master of that servant. It's interesting that the Greek word that's used for servant here also means son. It indicates that this servant was more to the centurion than merely a servant. He was like someone in his own family. And that's why he was so concerned about his illness. In the first miracle, Jesus touched the leper. In the second miracle, again, he did not touch the man because the man was not there. In the first miracle, the leper was a Jew. When Jesus helped the centurion by healing his servant, the centurion was a Gentile. But two things are true and common of both. The healing and the cleansing was instantaneous and it was complete. Matthew says that immediately the leprosy was gone, and from the very moment Jesus said, "I'll take care of your servant," that servant was healed. But the power of both cleansing and the healing is the same too, isn't it? Jesus' word, God's word. God said, "Be clean." God said, "Go. It will be done just as you believed it would." Go, and it will be done. That's what the centurion had said to Jesus. And here we have one of the great illustrations and definitions of faith. Faith means to take God at His word. The centurion said, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. You got to be a centurion by surviving many battles and being a pretty hard person, being a strong leader of men." And yet here the centurion in faith humbled himself before Jesus and said, I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof. But you don't need to. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I recognize your authority, Jesus. I get it. I myself am a man who is under authority. And when somebody orders me to do something, I do it. And I get it. I have people under me. And I tell them, go, and they go. I tell them, come, and they come. Just say the word. And I know that my servant will be healed. What great trust in God's word. In fact, Jesus pointed to that Gentile centurion and said to the crowd around him, I tell you the truth, I have never seen faith so strong in one of my own people as I see in this Roman centurion. Jesus said, in fact, there are going to be many like him, many Gentiles. Remember, Epiphany is the season of Jesus revealing himself to the Gentiles. Jesus said, many will come from the east and the west, just like this Roman centurion, who will sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. And there will be many of my people who believe that they are in the kingdom of heaven, who won't be there in eternity, but will be locked out in hell, who will be wailing in their suffering and gnashing their teeth because of their total despair, because they rejected me as their Savior. The Epiphany Savior is willing to cleanse and to heal. We know that He has that willingness to do that. We know that it is the power of His Word that is restorative to that for us. And so, in our faith, that is our faith, to trust and take God at His Word. Just say the word, Jesus, and I am forgiven all my sins. Just say the word, Jesus, and you will strengthen and sustain my faith. Just say the word, Lord, and according to your will and your goodness, my body will be healed of all its diseases. Just say the word, Jesus, and I will commend myself into the Father's hands as the angels come to carry me into heaven. The Epiphany Savior is willing to cleanse and to heal. Amen.